All right, Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. I want to read a few verses, chapter 2, verse number 8. We're going to begin, and then we'll share the thought for today. Luke 2, verse number 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Let's stop right there. Father, we pray that you would just bless the reading of your word, open our hearts to the truth of your word. And God, I pray you would just encourage us and just transform us by the power of your word. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, Christmas season. I got a question for you. Who in here likes getting gifts? Raise your hand. Who in here? I know a whole lot more of y'all like getting gifts than that. Who in here loves getting gifts? Raise your hand. All right. We all love getting gifts, right? Christmas is all about getting gifts, receiving gifts. In fact, it's so much about gift giving that I did a little Google search. Do y'all know how much money was spent on gifts in America last year? Anybody want to take a guess? Okay, this is what Google said, okay? $950 billion just in America. $950 billion. How many say I could just use a $1 billion would do, right? That'd pay some things off. That'd pay the light bill. $950 billion. Listen to this. $1.3 trillion worldwide on Christmas. Oh, wow. $1.3 trillion. I can't even comprehend trillion. What is a trillion? $1.3 trillion. Christmas. A big part of it is buying gifts, right? A big part of it. And it can get kind of extreme, you know, the gifts and the rushing to get the gift. And, you know, you always have that hot gift of the year. You always have that certain gift that everybody's trying to get. A few years ago, I think it was the PlayStation 5 or 6 or 10 or whatever number they're on. It was on back order and people are paying extra and people are going to the store and fighting over it. And, you know, there's nothing like the Christmas spirit, pulling somebody's hair for a PlayStation, right? Or a few years before that, it was, different thing. Remember the Tickle Me Elmo dolls? Oh, yeah. Tickle Me Elmos? How ridiculous is that? You know, people fighting over. And then you go back even farther, it was the Cabbage Patch dolls. Oh, yeah. Who in the world wants them ugly things? A Cabbage Patch doll. But it can get kind of extreme, and the thing about these gifts is you get these gifts, you buy them, you purchase them, you receive them, and then most of the time, in a few weeks, you done forgot about it. Exactly. Sitting out in the rain being destroyed, just like Nathan's hoverboard was that time. It sits on the shelf, it doesn't get used, you forget about it, it loses its value, it diminishes in worth, and the kids never play with it hardly anymore. Then you end up re-gifting it to somebody else next Christmas, right? But what is the big deal about gifts? The thing is that Jesus is the greatest gift of Christmas, right? He is the gift that never loses its value, he never diminishes in worth, he's always... it's just as significant and relevant as ever before. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is the greatest gift to humanity that God has given. You see, when we give Christmas gifts, we take them and we wrap them and we place them under the tree, the Father took his Son, wrapped him in human flesh, and placed him on the tree so that he could die for the sins of mankind. He is the greatest gift. He is the unspeakable gift that we have. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is that gift. And listen to this. He is the gift that keeps on giving, right? He's the gift that his gift never ends. He gives eternal life. He gives a gift that continues to go on and on and on. You don't get tired of it. You don't get bored with it. You don't get rid of it. He gives a gift that continues eternal life. And not just eternal life, but he gives us the ability to live a life to the fullest. That's what you find in Jesus. He doesn't just give you life after death. He gives you the ability to live life the way he's called you to live it, to its greatest potential, to its greatest fullness, to live in the blessings and joy and fullness of God while we're here. We shouldn't just trudge through life to get to heaven. We should enjoy it, the journey, right? That's what Jesus offers. And last week we looked at focusing on Advent. Advent, the coming, the arrival of Christ into the world. We looked at four, I mentioned to y'all, we're going to look for the next few weeks on four gifts that Jesus gives us. Four gifts that we have through Jesus. Does anybody remember what last week's gift was? Hope. Gift of hope. Thank you. Somebody was paying attention. Amen. The gift of hope. Jesus gives hope to a hopeless humanity. He gives hope to a hopeless heart. This morning, I want to share with you the second gift of Advent, the gift of joy. Jesus is our source of joy. You will not find true, lasting joy in anything else in this world. Jesus is the only true source of joy. Now, who in here, you don't have to raise your hand, hypothetically, who in here could use some joy, right? Who could use some joy? You know, we go through Christmas, and it's supposed to be a joyful season, and you know, there's lights and decorations and presents and parties, and maybe you even have in your Christmas decorations joy put up everywhere. Maybe on your stockings it says J-O-W and, or J-O-Y, I'm sorry. Dwayne, can you edit that out? Anyone? Okay. J-O-Y. Joe, I don't even know how to say that. Okay. Y'all know what I mean. Goodness. Joy. So, but, I'm turning red a little bit, ain't I? Okay. Yeah. You can go through this Christmas season and not truly experience joy. You can go through this merry season and just be so worried about stress, chaos, bills. I mean, we racking up $950 billion in America, so money, schedules. Anybody extra busy during Christmas season? You ain't busy. You know, just the whole hustle and bustle and schedules and problems, and maybe it's even more things than just the average. Maybe you're dealing with loss. Maybe you're dealing with a loss of a loved one. Maybe you're dealing with some pain, some discouragement, sickness. There's a lot of things in this world that even though we have joy through Jesus, we can go through life not experiencing the joy that he has to offer. Is that right? We can go through life and say, okay, I know I'm supposed to have joy, but where's my joy? Can we get real in here this morning? Can we all just agree that not every day we wake up just a bowl of sunshine, you know, just ready to go? Because life is hard. It's difficult. There's problems. There's trials. There's struggles. But the angels came in that morning, 2,000 years ago, that day, that night, actually here, that night, they proclaimed to the shepherds a message of joy. They said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy. That word good tidings, it's where we get our word evangelism from. They preached the gospel on that day that Jesus was coming to the world. And that's good news. The good news of the gospel, that Jesus came to this world and that in him, we don't just have joy. The Bible says we have great joy. It's not just regular joy. It's supernatural joy. It's divine joy. It's joy that nothing in this world can remove from you. The angels proclaimed this message of joy. And this morning, we need to understand that Jesus is the source of this joy, and it's only through him that we can live a life full of joy. It's only through him, and many of us are trying to find joy in, you know, people, in relationships, maybe in religion, maybe in, you know, just the world, different things. We're trying to find, but Jesus is your only source of true, great joy. How many says, I need some joy? Amen. We need some joy, and we're going to find it through Jesus. I want to give you four truths this morning centered around the gift of joy. Number one, joy is centered on faith, not feeling. Joy is centered on faith, not feeling. Now, joy is a feeling, right? Let's not just act like joy isn't a feeling. Don't be like that person that says with a frown on their face, I have joy, you just can't see it. It's down deep in my heart, right? Y'all remember that song? Yeah. Got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Where? Where's it at? I don't see it. Walking through life just angry, mad. Well, I got the joy of Jesus. I just keep it hidden. No, joy is a feeling that should be shared and revealed, right? But joy is more than just a feeling. Joy is more than just a feeling. It's deeper than a feeling. Your feelings are the shallowest part of you, and God does not do the deepest work in the shallowest part. He does it down deep in your soul, in your heart. And joy is a supernatural gift that Jesus gives us. It's a fruit of the Spirit that we have as being followers and believers of Christ. Through our faith in Christ, we have joy. Through our faith in this message. The angel said, I come to bring you good tidings of great joy. They said, I come to bring you a message, the message of the gospel. And to have joy, it's not going to be found in a feeling. It's going to be found in a person, the person of Jesus, through having faith in Christ. That's what brings true joy. Having joy in Jesus comes in two ways. Having a knowledge of him. But also not just a knowledge of him, but having a relationship with him. You can have a knowledge of him and not have true joy. It comes from knowing who he is, knowing this message, knowing the truth, but also having a relationship with this Savior. I want you to look at your Bible again real quick. Look what the angel said in verse number 10, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Look here in verse number 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Three titles the angels gave to Jesus. A Savior, he's Christ, and he's the Lord. You have to have a knowledge of who Jesus is to really have the joy that Jesus offers. Who is he? He's a Savior, he's Christ, and he's the Lord. He's the Savior that came to rescue and redeem fallen humanity. He's the Savior that came to redeem you and purchase you and deliver you from your own sinful condition. He came to save you from yourself, save you from Satan, save you from hell, save you from the wrath of God. He is a Savior that has come to save. He is Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah that the Father appointed to come and be our rescuer, our deliverer. And then he is the Lord, a knowledge of him, right? Joy comes from a knowledge of him. He's Savior, he's Christ, and he's Lord. What does it mean that he's Lord? It means that he is the master. He is the ruler. He is the king. He is the one who is supreme in authority and power. He's a Savior. He's the Messiah, the Christ, and he's the Lord. We see here this reveals to us that he's not just any child being born 2,000 years ago, right? He is the God-man. He is 100% God, 100% man, the hypostatic union, the deity wrapped in humanity. He is Jesus who came to this earth as God. You see, he is, it reveals to us that the incarnation, that he is God and he is man. He's born, he said to you, this child is born, he's a man, but he's the Lord, he's a king, right? He was born, he's human, but he is the Lord, he's king. It reveals to us that he's able to die, but he's also able to save. He's able to die and save us from our sins. It comes from a knowledge of him, but listen, not just a knowledge of him. Here's the key, a relationship with him. You say, well, I know he's the Savior. I know he's the Messiah, the Christ. I know he's the Lord. But here's the thing, is he your Savior? Is he your Christ? Is he your Lord? It's easy to say he is the, but is he your? Can you say, like Mary in Mary's poem, Mary's song, where she was exalting God after the angel revealed to her that she was born with child just a chapter before this, can you say that I rejoice in God, my Savior? Is he your Savior? Have you accepted and received Jesus Christ personally, not just going through the motions of religion, not just checking the boxes of your rituals, your routines, your religious ordinances? Is he your Savior? Do you have a relationship with him? That's where true joy comes from. It doesn't come from focusing on this world. It comes from centering our focus on the message that Jesus is the Christ, the Lord, the Savior, and that I've received him as my Lord, my Savior, and he has delivered me from the wrath of God, set me free to walk in the righteousness of Christ. That's where it gets real. Is he your Savior? Have you received him as your Savior, and have you surrendered to him as your Lord? If you haven't, you're not truly experiencing joy. You might be experiencing happiness depending on the circumstances of life. The mountaintop experiences, you're happy, but joy is deeper than a feeling. And many times we let our feelings govern our faith rather than our faith govern our feelings. We're just going with the wind of our feelings blowing in every which direction. But joy is so much deeper than that. Is Jesus the source of your great joy? Your feelings change, but this message that the angels brought has not changed in 2,000 years. He's still the Savior, he's still the Christ, and he's still the Lord. So which one are we going to rest our faith on, our feelings or our faith in Jesus who never changes? That's where true joy comes from, in the message, in the gospel, in Jesus Christ. The song says, in Christ alone my hope is found, right? So number one, joy is centered on faith, not feelings. I want to give you a second truth. Joy is available to all because Jesus is available to all. You say, well, we know that. Yeah, but it might be good for somebody in here to hear it. Jesus is available to all. It's a universal message. The angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to who? How many? All people. This message is a universal message of joy that Jesus has come for all. And I think it's significant on who the angels revealed this message to, the shepherds. The shepherds were lower class, probably poor, probably dirty, kind of looked down on. People didn't think much of the shepherds. The first revelation of the Messiah after he was born was to these lower class individuals, the shepherds. And it tells us that Jesus is for everybody. No matter what race, no matter what reputation you have, no matter if you're low class, high class, poor, rich, dirty, or squeaky clean, Jesus is for everybody. No matter how bad your past is, no matter how many times you've messed up, no matter how much shame you carry around, Jesus is for everybody, and he has come to redeem you and save you from your guilt, your shame that sin has brought in your life. He is for everybody. The third truth I want to share with you is joy should be revealed in our actions. Joy should be revealed in our actions. Look at verse 13. After the angels made this message, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The angels could not hold back the joy any longer. They erupted. An innumerable number of angels lit up the sky and started worshiping and magnifying Jesus. Ain't that amazing? Can you imagine that sight? Oh my goodness. To be a shepherd looking at that night where the angels, you think you've been a part of some worship services, you've never been a part of the angels worshiping the holy God of heaven. So the angels rejoiced. And then look what the shepherds did. Verse 15. "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him," look right here, "they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." The shepherds, what'd they do? They went running out in the streets after they have experienced the angel choir. After they went and saw Jesus, they went running through the streets telling everybody that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord, has been born and he's laid in a manger. They were excited about the message. They were moved to action by the message. They were rejoicing and praising God. The joy was the internal reality, but witnessing, rejoicing, and praising was the external reaction of their joy. If you have joy on the inside, you shouldn't come to church like you don't have no joy. You shouldn't go through life like you don't have no joy. The shepherds just saw the angels, but listen, they didn't even say anything about the angels, right? They said, come and see, Jesus has been born. They went telling everybody about Jesus, this Savior, and the people marveled. The Bible says they marveled, they wondered, they admired them. You know what? I believe that they might not have believed the message, but they believed the shepherds believed the message, right? What do people think about you? Does that describe us at all? Are we so overjoyed by Jesus that we are just excited and telling everybody about the Savior, about what he has done in our life? And you say, well, I know what somebody's thinking here right now. He said, well, I didn't see an angel, a big sky full of angels rejoicing. Yeah, but you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And you have a life that's been changed and transformed by this message. We should be sharing this message to the world. The joyful should be sharing joy to the joyless in this world. When people look at us, they should see the joy of Christ. Let me ask you this question. Listen, how many Christians can you look at and say, I just see the joy of the Lord radiating off of that person? Honestly, for me, it's not as many as it should be. I see a lot of stress. I see a lot of complaining. I see a lot of, struggling. But somebody that's truly radiating with the joy of Jesus in their life stands out because it's not normal when it should be normal. It should be normal. Every scene you see surrounding Jesus and the birth of Jesus, you see there was joy involved, right? I mean, the wise men came and they rejoiced and they worshiped. You see, Mary rejoiced and she worshiped. You see, the shepherds here rejoiced. The angels rejoiced. You even look where Mary was pregnant with Jesus and she went to Elizabeth, and John the Baptist was in the belly of Mary. Y'all remember what happened? The Bible says the babe leapt for joy. John the Baptist in the womb leapt for joy because he was in the presence of Jesus. Jesus brings joy. And all throughout the Bible, you see he would heal and he would deliver and he would give sight to the blind. He would raise the dead. There's joy surrounding Jesus. So why isn't there joy surrounding us if we have Jesus in us? Jesus is our source of joy, and we should share that joy with the world. Look at verse number 20. This stood out to me. Verse number 20, it says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They returned where? Where did they return? I believe they returned to their sheep, right? But while they were going back to their sheep, they were praising and glorifying God. So they were in their occupation praising God while they were there. Y'all remember that tomorrow morning when Monday rolls around. Because joy is contagious. Maybe people aren't praising God because you're not praising God. Joy is contagious. But look, joy is like COVID. You can spread it around everywhere. But here's something else that's contagious. Complaining. Grumbling. Negativity. What are you sharing as you go throughout this world? What are you sharing as you go to your jobs or your school or wherever? Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's a command. We have the joy of the Lord in us, and we should reveal it on the outside by rejoicing externally, praising Him, singing to Him, worshiping Him, proclaiming Him, witnessing, testifying, telling people that Jesus is the source of my joy. Joy should be revealed in our actions. Are you sharing your joy with the world through your life, through your actions, through your words? If joy is your internal reality, are you sharing it? Are you letting it result in rejoicing? And then four, and I'm done. The fourth truth is this. Joy is given by Christ, not driven by circumstances. Joy is given by Christ, not driven by circumstances. I want to remind you of the setting here at the birth of Christ. You know, we see the nativity scene set up, and you know, everything looks so peaceful. This was a very sinful, immoral, wicked, dark moment of history. I mean, just not too long after this, Herod, an evil king who was ruling at this time, ordered the massacre of every child under 2 years old. This wasn't a joyful time of life to live in. It wasn't joyful for the Jewish people. They were under Roman oppression. There was religious corruption. There was government corruption. It was tax season, somebody say, oh me. It was not a joyful time to be living in this season. The rich would take advantage of the poor. There was just problems everywhere you looked. But listen, it's not a time where you think joy would be natural, but the thing is the joy that Jesus gives isn't natural, it's supernatural. Supernatural joy. It's a joy that no matter the circumstances, you can still have that deep joy within your heart that nothing in this world can take from you. And you may be here right now, and there's things in your life that aren't ideal. You're struggling with things. You're, whatever the case is, you're having a hard time finding joy. But listen to me. It doesn't come in your circumstances. It comes through your Savior. Joy comes from Jesus. And Jesus says in John 15:11, as the Father In verse number 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then he says, these things have I spoken to you that my joy, this is Jesus talking, my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus says, I give you my joy. Jesus was a man of sorrows, right? But he still had joy. He took the suffering, the pain, the punishment, but he still had joy. And he says, if you remain with me, my joy will remain with you. That's a message we need to let sink down in our heart this morning. If you remain with Jesus, his joy will remain with you. He says, abide in my love. Abide with me. Be one with me. Continue with me. Be in my presence. If you remain in him, in Jesus, his joy will remain in you. Something that's not determined by outward circumstances, something that he puts down in the inside of us, a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. If you remain with Jesus, his love, his joy will remain with you. And it's so important to remember this because we all go through seasons that are not very joyful, not pleasant, not good. Times of suffering, times of sorrow, but even through the tears, even through the heartbreak, even through the pain, even through the sorrow, you can praise him with tears in your eyes. You can worship him because he has given you something deeper than just an emotion. He's given you a supernatural gift that nothing in the world can take from you. If you take notes, a couple verses I want to share with you. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Talks about the disciples. Says, and they agreed with them, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they beat the apostles. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And they let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council. Listen, the apostles departed rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That's not natural. Y'all see what just happened? They were beaten for preaching about Jesus, and they got up and rejoiced. That's not natural. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, he says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Then he says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulations. You're talking about a man who was arrested at Philippi for serving God, preaching the gospel, thrown in a Philippian jail. Him and Silas, they were in this jail. The Bible says they were beaten with rods. They had bruises and cuts all over their body. They were thrown into this dark, cold dungeon, shackled hands and feet. And it was probably a miserable scene. The circumstances were gloomy. They were just sorrowful. They were depressing. But while they were in that prison, the Bible says, but at midnight, the darkness, Paul began to praise God and sing hymns in the prison. It's not natural. Him and Silas broke out in "How Great Thou Art" right there in the Philippian jail. And the Bible says everybody heard them. And the place was shook, and God released them. God saved people in the process. They began to intentionally praise God even in their problems, because your circumstances do not determine your joy. Jesus determines your joy. Circumstances didn't look good. James 1 verse 2, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations and trials, for the trying of your faith will produce in you patience, and patience experience, and experience maturity, so that you're lacking. What I'm trying to tell you is that your circumstances cannot steal your joy. In fact, your problems, rather, is God's purpose and God's plan to help you grow as a believer, and you can rejoice in those, even in those dark times. And the greatest example of this, Hebrews 12, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Not natural, right? It's not natural to look at an old, rugged cross that you know you're about to die on and consider it the joy set before me. How could Jesus look at the cross, look at the crucifixion, and look at it as the joy set before? Because it was God's purpose and God's plan of redemption. And whenever you are walking in the righteousness, the will, and the plan and purpose of God, you can be filled with joy even if the circumstances on the outside are not ideal. Some of you may be going through troubles and problems today. Those problems can't take your joy. There was a lady, we can have a song of invitation. I want to close with this. There was a lady that I met and I preached at a church in Independence a few years ago. Her name was Frances, elderly lady. And Frances didn't have any family hardly in her area. And sometimes people would pick her up for church and bring her to church because she didn't have a ride. But she told me this. I talked to her and she says, if I don't have a ride, Frances couldn't get around. She was kind of, she couldn't move too much. She says, I'll just hop on my motorized wheelchair and I'll ride down the road to church. Wasn't nothing holding Frances back. Now, this wasn't like a main highway. It was a little country road. But still, Frances would get on her motorized wheelchair and she would ride down the road to church. And she told me, she said, I had two kids, a daughter and a son. She said, I outlived both of them. They both died in their 50s. She said, and this was years ago, she said, last year I lost my husband while I was battling cancer. But then then her face lit up, y'all. And she said, but the Lord is so good to me. And I said, look at this. That's not natural. It's not natural. That's something the world cannot understand. She said, the Lord, her face radiating with the joy of the Lord. The Lord is so good to me. Brittany was showing me about a mother that lost her son in a tragic accident in New Orleans. Some kind of shooting incident happened. Made a post on Facebook last night explaining and just talking about her son. And at the end of it, she said this, but God is still good. It's not natural. It's the supernatural gift that we have only through Jesus, that he gives us when we place our faith in him and the Holy Spirit enters our life and we receive something more than this world has to offer. You're not going to find that in this world, in alcohol, in drugs, in people, in relationships. You're only going to find that supernatural, unnatural joy through Jesus. Through trusting him, through surrendering to him, through remaining with him. You may be here today, and I know there's some people in here right now that you're going through some things. Maybe some things people know about. Maybe some things nobody knows about but you. Maybe some external problems. Maybe some inward struggles. You're going through a hard time of life right now. But I don't think you came in here by accident. I think God brought you here because he needed you to hear that joy is available. Joy is there. It is a gift. It's a gift. You don't have to work and earn it. Jesus died on the cross and purchased it for you, and he's given it to you. And all you have to do is receive the gift of Christ, and you receive all the spiritual blessings, all the treasures that you find in Christ are his when you receive and surrender to Him. And He can turn your life around. He can give you that hope and that joy. He is your source of joy, and you only find it through Him.